Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. So a lot of things to get to this morning. The Lakers beating the Pelicans in the regular season finale, but still enter the play-in tournament with a number 7 seed in the West. As one of the favorites to win the NBA title at plus 500 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Lakers will now face Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday for the play-in.
The Lakers did their part as much as they could. You know, they go out there, they win their final 5 games, which meant that Portland would only be able to lose one of their final 5. The Blazers did a great job, so a credit to them. Ultimately, for the Lakers, they've got LeBron back. He played both games on the weekend. A moment of worry in the end of that Pelicans game where it looked like, did he tweak the ankle? Vogel and LeBron himself saying he is good to go. They look like they're back healthy. They certainly have their full complement of guys. If the Lakers can remain healthy, which is the question it feels like for so many teams this year, Aaron, then they got a real shot to go out there and repeat, but they got to start with the play-in.
Yeah, and the Garden gets game 1 with the Knicks playing the Hawks in round 1 of the playoffs. The tip-in for that is Saturday with the Knicks laying a 1.5. Knicks were able to lock up that number 4 seed with a win over the Celtics yesterday.
And rightfully, they cover the first half against the Boston Celtics in their final regular season game. Them and their first half trend has been one of the stories of the season. But the Knicks have also just been one of the stories of the season. Really, you cannot give this team enough credit. I think that they took advantage of a schedule of a season that a lot of teams fell to. A lot of teams weren't able to, you know, handle the schedule or ultimately chose not to push it and be aggressive. The Knicks saw an opening. They took it, and boy, did they take it. 10 games over 500, the 4th best record in the Eastern Conference, and they get to host a round 1 series.
And the Wizards jumped to that 8th seed, knocked the Hornets to the 10th seed in the East. Wizards stormed back from a 16-point deficit to beat the Hornets and take that 8th seed. Now Washington won 115-110. The Wizards will face Boston on Tuesday in the play-in, while the Pacers and Hornets will play in Indianapolis.
You want to talk about a couple of teams going in different directions. The Washington Wizards finish it out by winning 17 of their last 23 games. Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook putting it together. Russ, triple-double, 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 triple-double. Bradley Beal, buckets, buckets, buckets. They get all the way up to the 8th seed. We didn't think they were going to make the play-in. We thought Beal was going to be traded. The Hornets, ugh, they end up losing 15 of their final 21 games and go from a team in the 4-5 to the 10th seed, needing 2 road wins if they want to make it into the playoffs. Very different vibes around those two teams.
For sure. Another headline yesterday was Steph Curry securing the scoring title, and Warriors get the number 8 seed in the West. Steph Curry posts 46 points, hitting over his player prop set at 35.5 yesterday against the Grizzlies. Steph averaged 32 points this season. He's the oldest to win the scoring title since Michael Jordan. He had 7 games with 10 or more made threes. He also broke the Warriors' all-time scoring record and many other records, Kev. Obviously, such an impressive season for Steph Curry.
Yeah, and one that LeBron, Ja Morant, believe has earned him the MVP. He's actually the second choice on the board at 24-1. He's not going to win it, nor should he, but he has been excellent. The Warriors have been excellent to close out the regular season, winning 8 of their last 9 games, covering in all 8 of those victories. They will not be an easy out for the Lakers in the play-in or anybody that they would meet potentially in the playoffs.
And quickly, let's welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Also, over the weekend, the Hall of Fame induction concluded. Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett now officially have their place amongst the legends.
And they deserve it because they are all legends, obviously. Kobe Bryant, very emotional to see him go in under the circumstances, but 2-4 always was going to be an NBA Hall of Famer, and that's absolutely where he belongs. But also two other legends, two of the best bigs the NBA has ever seen. Tim Duncan, maybe the most underrated player in league history. Kevin Garnett, as a kid, was one of my favorites growing up. I couldn't believe his name was Kevin. I thought, wow, look, we're basically the same. But he was also tremendous at the sport of basketball. All three legends that defined my childhood, excited to see them all make the Hall of Fame. Yep.
For sure. And how about Ron Bauer winning the Preakness with Medina Spirit coming in third place? Ron Bauer has a really awesome story. He obviously was about to be sold and then the pandemic hit, which delayed this auction. But now, obviously, is a big win under his belt.
Yeah, about 12-1 cashing on Ron Bauer, the 6-horse there. Medina Spirit looked like it was his to win, and then all the sudden it wasn't. Maybe needed some extra enhancements to close the deal. At the end of the day, a big congrats to Ron Bauer. No triple crown this year going into the Belmont.
Also, I'm excited to talk about some NHL playoff hockey. A lot of these teams going into overtime, Kev. The Bruins and the Caps, the Islanders and the Penguins, Minnesota and Vegas, all three of the first games going into overtime.
Yeah, you know, everyone who loves this sport always says that their playoffs are the best. At the end of the day, if you love the sport, obviously the playoffs are going to be incredibly exciting. But boy, I mean, there's been 4 games, as you've said, 3 of them go to overtime. The only one that didn't was 5-4 with the game-winning goal coming in the last 5 minutes. Tremendous start to the NHL playoffs.
I'm excited to talk about the NHL playoffs. We'll be talking about that in this hour. So stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the NBA. We'll be right back after the break.
Coming to you 24 hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. So as you know, the NBA regular season wrapped up yesterday. Now we have the play-in tournament games coming up starting tomorrow. So let's talk about some initial reactions for opening lines. The Pacers opened -1.5, have now moved to -3.5. The total is now posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook, 229. Kev, why do you feel that people are backing the Pacers in the spot?
Well, I think you've got a Charlotte team that's lost 5 in a row to close out the regular season. I think you've got an Indiana team that's been able to grab a couple of victories when we had all, I felt like, left them for dead. You know, Nate Bjorkgren getting fired. They're injured, this, that, and the third. And also Indiana's home. And I think that that still does matter this year. The big question for this game, Sabonis is going to play, but will some of the other Pacers come back? Most notably, Malcolm Brogdon. Is Malcolm Brogdon going to make a return for Indiana? The Pacers, I would say, Aaron, have a better chance than the Hornets to beat whoever loses the 7-8 game because they were supposed to be a playoff team. We know they have talent on that roster. Domantas Sabonis is playing great basketball down the stretch. I think between home court advantage and how bad the Hornets have been to close out is why we see the Pacers laying 3 and a hook.
Yeah, and the winner of that will get that number 8 seed and have to play the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's also hit on the Wizards. They opened -1. It actually then swung to the Celtics side all the way up to -2 at one point, now sitting on the FanDuel Sportsbook, -1.5, the total at 233. Why are people backing the Boston Celtics now?
Yeah, I was actually surprised when I saw your initial tweet that Washington was the favorite. I know that they're playing well. I understand that Boston kind of stumbled into this 7th spot. But Boston is still, I think, a place that's been tough to win for opponents. And I don't think Bradley Beal's healthy. I think Bradley Beal had to fight tooth and nail to help Washington cross that finish line against Charlotte. My initial thoughts here, Aaron, that the value is on the Boston Celtics. We'll see. We'll continue to break these games down. We'll go in depth to these games, of course, tomorrow here on the show. We'll give you all of our, you know, picks, plays, leans, and what have you. But I am even surprised that, you know, this line went all the way up to Boston -3 at one point and is now working way down.
Get it to see that high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it closes maybe Boston -2.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be surprising. I just think it's interesting that originally off the bat, they're thinking Wizards -1. Maybe they're factoring that Beal is going to be more healthy than we expect. Personally, I think the Wizards can beat the Celtics if Beal is healthy. But then again, it all comes down to if he was biting tooth and nail and trying to get that, of course, win for the team, then it's going to be hard for him to win multiple games, especially in a row. Let's switch it over to the west side of the bracket, the Spurs versus the Grizzlies. Grizzlies laying 3, only moved up half a point now to -3.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total 225.5. Do you think the Grizzlies will be able to close this out?
I mean, I think the Grizzlies will be disappointed in themselves because they came out hot against Golden State, and then they had a great comeback in the fourth quarter. Dylan Brooks fouled out, and the game fell apart. If you were watching that game, it was pretty clear to watch what turned, and it was Dylan Brooks fouling out. San Antonio is rested, though, going into this game. They didn't play Saturday. Sunday, they played a couple of guys, and then they sat him down the back end there. So I think that rest there for San Antonio, although plenty of time off for Memphis. You know, they're going to get off both Monday and Tuesday. I wanted to make this point, though, Aaron, on the total. Total of 225.5, and I want to make it on all the totals. Yesterday, Wizards Hornets and Warriors Grizzlies, the two playoff-ish games on the board. I don't want to go as far to call them playoff games, but they might as well have been. The 8 seed was up for grabs. We talked about how important that is. Both went under. The Warriors game kind of went under comfortably. And that Wizards-Hornets game was around the number. The first halves of those games went under with great comfort. I think you keep that in mind here as you're betting the totals in these play-in games. Single elimination games typically will play to the under. Slower paced, more careful with your possessions. It's tighter. You know the moment. It's important. Those games play to the under. We saw that yesterday, and I'll be keeping that in mind during this play-in round for sure.
And the total yet is not posted for the Golden State versus the Lakers, but Lakers laying 6.5. Do you think this is too many points or too little of points in this case?
So I don't think there's any way it's too little. Before it was posted, this was the last one posted because it was the last game set. My initial thought was 5.5. When I saw the 7, I was like, oh, wow. You know, but you consider the Lakers are home. And I think that there is perhaps an idea from the book that they're going to price this Lakers team, Aaron, maybe in the way that they would if they were fully healthy. Because I think a fully healthy, defending NBA champion Lakers team laying 6.5 to the Warriors, I think that makes some sense when you say it like that. When you say, oh, look, the red hot pipe, you know, Golden State Warriors against the Lakers team that's still maybe trying to get their legs underneath them, that 6.5 might jump off like a little bit. So I think my big takeaway is I feel like that's a line that offers and shows a lot of confidence in the Lakers going into that game.
For sure. So those are the four playing games. We have the Pacers versus the Hornets, Wizards, Celtics, Spurs, Grizzlies, Golden State versus Lakers. Now, the one thing we have to obviously mention is because we are a sports betting show. When you go into the NBA playoffs, what trends and factors do you want to look towards? Do you want to go to do your regular research and look at, all right, the Lakers have been this during this regular season in terms of against the spread numbers, but, oh, they obviously didn't have AD, they didn't have LeBron, Dennis Schroeder was missing some time at the end there. How do you want to kind of do your research and make correct picks for some of these games? Because sometimes when the playoffs come around, all betting trends go out the window.
Yeah, I think, you know, oh, this team is a home dog and, you know, oh, road favorite. You want to be cautious, no doubt, Aaron. I think more than ever, you lock in on matchups. Where can you exploit your opponent, right? And those ins and outs, the X's and O's, all start to matter a lot more. I think it makes the player props market very fun. You know, you also can trust some of your star players more minutes. It's the postseason now. Okay, I don't have as much time to be throwing reps to guy number nine on the bench. So then you can back them a little bit more. But also, too, Aaron, you have to try and kind of play the momentum here with some of the games. You know, the Lakers all of a sudden, let's just say they're, you know, up 2-0 in a series and their opponent now has to win that next game. That's understood and that's okay to talk about. That's all very relevant now when you're breaking those games down. So also series prices. And that's one of the things that you're going to see talked about here a ton on the early line. It's one of my favorite markets to break down.
Yeah.
I know Aaron's excited about it as well, is to just, you know, watch not only where they are before the series, but how they move with wins. In our next segment, I know we're going to be talking about the NHL. And we've already seen some big shifts based on the opening games of those series. And I'm excited then to carry that over and talk about it when we get our series prices in the NBA.
Yeah, Kevin and I will definitely be harping on those series prices. And of course, for the play in those four games, we're not going to be able to break them down the same way we're going to be able to break down these actual series, just given after, let's say, one or two games, you can kind of see which players are hot, who's cooling off, what's kind of going on the first half trends, second half trends, who's winning the games. So it makes it a little bit easier. But all around, I'm excited for these play-in games. Then we have the series. I mean, there's so much going on. We have NBA playoffs. It's one of the best times. And we also have the NHL playoffs, which we're going to be talking about in our upcoming segment. But really, those series prices are something that bettors are really loving to hone in on. And they're also changing drastically after each single game. So something to keep an eye on. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the NHL playoffs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get into the NHL playoffs. So we're going to recap some of the game that happened over the weekend. Starting off with game one, we had the Bruins versus the Capitals. Caps win the playoff opener 3-1 in overtime, also as the favorite, under 5.5 goals hit. Now, despite the Caps being a tad banged up with some of their players coming off injuries, the Bruins just could not capitalize on chances to score. These teams will play each other again tonight, and we'll talk about that game in a minute. But just overall, I wanted to talk about your initial thoughts on this first game and obviously it going into overtime.
Yeah, so as far as the total goes, they each put a goal in both the first and second periods. Scoreless third. Like, if you bet over 5.5 goals, it's a tough way to go out. Needing, you know, you get one goal in the third period, you hope maybe you grab an empty netter along the way. For that game to, you know, end up going in a scoreless third period, I think for total bettors, that was difficult. Also, what was probably difficult for total bettors, and of course, Bruins bettors, the Caps goalie got hurt 13 minutes into this game. And all of a sudden, Nick Downs stepped up and in, but did a really solid job in net. And I think that, Aaron, leads to some questions about today's line, because the Caps were game one favorites, being, of course, the home team in that game. We've seen the line shift around here for game number two. How much of that is Boston won't lose two games? How much of that is new man behind the sticks? And is that making Boston now a bigger favorite here in Washington?
I'm not shocked that the Boston Bruins are going to be favored in this matchup because, like you said, a lot of people obviously equated to can they win two in a row. But what's interesting to me is the series price because the Bruins, minus 138. It's now switched to the Capitals, minus 148. That's a big jump to go to that. So I was a little surprised by that.
So here's the thing with this new series price. It has to move. I love this stuff. It has to move because the Caps are up 1-0 in this series. But the Bruins are now going to be favored in the next three games. The Boston Bruins are now, as we've just found out, favorites to come out here and win this second game in Washington. They're going to be favored in every single game that's going to be played, of course, in Boston. Now, I know they have to play the games. I understand that. But just from a value perspective, Boston is now going to be favored in three consecutive. They could be favored in all of the games, quite honestly, if they're favored here in Washington. So if you've not hit the panic button on the Boston Bruins, you could come in and grab this team at a plus 126 price. I think that does, of course, become very interesting. But to me, you're not at a point in the series, Aaron, where there's a huge gap between Boston at plus 126 and laying a minus 130 number. If you believe in Boston to win this series, I would believe you think that they win here in game two. I think you're betting them in game two before I worry about a series price. If they drop down 2-0, then you have some very interesting things to figure out on the series price.
That's for sure. And of course, that game going into overtime, another one that went into overtime, Penguins versus the Islanders. Now, the Penguins series price was minus 156. Now it's shifted to Islanders minus 172 after the Islanders win 4-3 in overtime. Now, the Islanders were a dog in that initial first game. And Noah Vengi-Malkin for the Penguins.
This was a surprising result, though, here for how much Pittsburgh dominated this regular season series. Now, I understand it's the regular season. It was a crazy season in hockey like it was, you know, over in the NBA. Of course, you know, playing each other as many times as they did, eight games. But Pittsburgh at home as the favorite to drop the opener to the Isles is surprising. And if you look, Aaron, look at that big shift in that series price. I think the biggest reason, though, now the Islanders basically have home ice advantage because they stole that first game in Pittsburgh. They go all the way up to a minus 172 price. Minus 172 with that game one victory.
Yeah, and another game that went into overtime, I feel like all we keep talking about in terms of games is, oh, this went into overtime, was the Wild versus the Golden Knights. Wild win with one goal on the board thanks to Joel Eriksson, who scored 3:20 into overtime. Now, both goalies absolutely on fire here. But, Kev, for the series price, this is very interesting. So, in terms of the Golden Knights, they're minus 126. So, how do you think this one's going to shake out?
So, this is so interesting. Of all the series prices that we've discussed, this one jumps off the page so much because Vegas was the second choice to win the Cup coming into the NHL playoffs. They played a Minnesota team that people were saying, look, they're no slouch, they're no slouch. And this was a goalies battle. I mean, goodness me, scoreless in regulation? Scoreless in regulation, that's really incredible. And 71 saves in that game combined. 42 on the Vegas end there for Marc-Andre Fleury, or rather 41 saves. I mean, again, just really one of those games where you come out of it and you ask yourself, is this going to be the tempo of the series? I mean, is it going to be impossible to score all series long? But that new series price now, minus 108 on Vegas, Aaron, if they are who people believe they are, that number has to be incredibly attractive, I would think, as much. I wish the series handicap, Minnesota laying a goal and a half, I wish they would offer the Vegas handicap of Vegas laying a game and a half there and see what that number would look like.
Let's also talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Panthers. Now, the total was at 5.5 for this game with Tampa Bay favored. Lightning do get the win 5-4, so the overcash is there for the 5.5, and they win as the favorite. But for their series price, minus 126 is an opener, minus 310 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook to win it.
Yeah, the Lightning go out there, and I think you see why George Kurtz came on this show and talked about just how dangerous they are, and it's because they have such elite talent. Nikita Kucherov returns. How about two goals in the second period? Braden Point, who's been tremendous for them, how about two goals in the third period? The one to tie at 4-4, and then the winner, again, with you know only a couple of minutes left on that clock to make it 5-4. Stamkos also returns, grabs himself a couple of points for his trouble, and they go out there, and they're the only team that wins in regulation. They do it on the road. They score five goals against the Florida Panthers. This Tampa Bay Lightning team, Aaron, is, I think, one that people are going to want to be invested in the futures market. They have the pedigree, and when you look at their superstars, again, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, and Steve Stamkos there, I mean, they just have so many guys that they can keep sending at you, you know, time and time again.
And there's three games on the board for the NHL playoffs tonight. You have the Bruins, Capitals, which they're going to be in their game two, but two game ones for the Predators, Hurricanes, Blues, and Avalanche. So why don't we talk about those series starting? We'll start off with the Predators and the Hurricanes. Right now, the Hurricanes are favored with the total at 5.5. Now, Carolina won the Central Division for the first division crown since they actually hoisted the Stanley Cup 15 years ago. Last year, the Hurricanes were swept by the Rangers in the best of five series. Meanwhile, Nashville is in the hunt for the seventh straight season, making the playoffs. Now, something that's interesting, head-to-head, Carolina has claimed six of the last meetings, outscoring Nashville by 24-17 in those wins. The Predators won the final two meetings, including a 5-0 game in their season finale. So I wanted to make sure that bettors looked and made sure that those last two games that they had won. Remember, the Hurricanes did not put in their usual lineup whatsoever. They didn't even have half of their starters. So make sure that you take that into account when you're looking at, oh, look, their last matchups against each other. But again, Hurricanes favored minus 196 right now. That line continuing to move up on the money line. Total at 5.5.
Yeah, you have to be very cautious with that stuff. If you are looking to back Carolina, one of the interesting markets available on the FanDuel Sportsbook is the Game 1 Series Double, picking who is going to win Game 1 and then who is going to win the series. The Carolina Hurricanes are minus 120 to win this first game and to then win the series. At minus 120, let's just say you would maybe be like they go out there and they win Game 1, Aaron, right? You will now be holding the Hurricanes to win the series at minus 120. Right now, the Predators are plus 225 to win this series. That number would jump to well above plus 300 if the Hurricanes win game one. So we talk about hedge opportunities, creating chances for yourself here. If you bet the Hurricanes to win game one in the series, that double at minus 120, you got a great chance to cash that ticket, obviously, if they win the first game. But Aaron, the sweat is over after game one.
Yeah.
You would be able to hedge out, secure profit, and move on to the next. That's as easy as you like. I think that's a great market to try to play for this Hurricanes-Predator series.
For sure. And then quickly, the St. Louis Blues versus the Avalanche. Avs lead the league in scoring, also just won the President's Trophy. And also just want to mention, Avalanche minus 310 on the money line, so not something you're really going to want to back there with a total at 5.5. Head-to-head, Avalanche 5-3, another game you can bet on for today.
Yeah, and the Avs, though, you know, the Blues kept this close. They're a competitive team out there. I wish we could get them at like plus 2.5 games for the series. Maybe that'll come alive at some point in the set.
Stay with us here. We'll be right back after the break.
Expert perspectives and action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get into some MLB recap really quickly. Favorites went 7-5 with the Reds, Rockies, Nationals, Diamondbacks, and Mets, Rays all closing pick'em. Upsets by the Marlins, Orioles, Angels, A's, and Mariners. Now, Kevin, off the bat, wanted to talk about a trade that happened with the Dodgers with Pujols.
Yeah, Albert Pujols ends up signing with the LA Dodgers. We were wondering where he was going to land in Major League Baseball. A little surprising to see it be a National League team when you consider the fact that he doesn't really field anymore, not very mobile at this point in his career. But for the Dodgers, they said that they made this clear to him. They want him to be a bench bat, somebody that can come up in clutch moments and drive in runs. They believe that there's enough flexibility from what Max Muncy can do in the field to make this work for them. And I'm sure for Pujols, one, he goes to the team that is the reigning defending World Series champions, the favorites to do so, and go out there and repeat this year. And also stay in Los Angeles. He's been, he was with the Angels for years. So for Albert Pujols to not have to up and move, it seems like he's okay with a bench role with the Dodgers. And I think that's understandable when you consider everything there. Is this going to be something that drastically moves their odds? No. Should it be? No. But it is a big deal when somebody with the legend of Albert Pujols does go out there and sign with anybody, much less the World Series favorite LA Dodgers.
And speaking of the Dodgers, they're going to play the Diamondbacks today. The Dodgers heavy favorites, minus 220, the total at 7.5. Now, we know the Dodgers won the three-game series against the Marlins, but unable to sweep. As for the Diamondbacks, they've only won one game in their last five games.
Yeah, this is going to be great today. Walker Buehler versus Madison Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner got off to a very difficult start. And then immediately was like, what if I just go out there and go back to my old self? That's apparently what he's done. Over his last five starts, he has pitched 30 innings, allowed only three earned runs. A .9 ERA in his last five starts. He's only walked two batters in those five starts. He has been special. Walker Buehler, it's been maybe a little hit or miss at times. I mean, he's not been bad. He's not been as good as you want. He's striking out a lot of batters. Here's the interesting detail with the Dodgers. On the season, they are 12-6 at home. In those 12 victories at home, they have covered the run line in all but two of those games. So when they win at home, they are winning big. That's what we've seen this season from the Dodgers. But I do think that Madison Bumgarner and his current form makes them an attractive option. Mm-hmm. They might be able to just stick around here. But with Walker Buehler as the opponent, I think perhaps the safer play is the under of 7. I know it's a low total, but we have seen these low numbers just get lower and lower in game. Madison Bumgarner is just pitching too hot right now for me to fade. I think you play under 7 runs.
Mm-hmm. I also want to mention the Diamondbacks 1-7 in their last eight meetings. Another game on the board, Yankees-Rangers. Rangers, heavy underdogs, plus 225 with Cole on the mound, the total at 7. The Yanks took the three-game series from the Orioles, putting 19 runs in three games. Would you want to play the over for this game, Kev?
So it's interesting because I think the Yankees have a chance to go out there and hit the over by themselves. But Gerrit Cole's pitching. So you might need them to hit the over by themselves. But that total is moving, right? 7.5 now up to an 8 here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you look to isolate the team total for the Yankees, that number is a 5. So you need 6 runs to have a winning ticket. Well, it's understandable. Jordan Lyles has been awful at home this year. Awful. So bad. His ERA at home is over 12. Over 12. Oh, he is yet to pitch a full five innings at home this season in those three starts. I mean, I think the Yankees tank this guy. I think they do it early and often. They enter coming into this series having lost six consecutive games. Oh, and by the way, Gerrit Cole's basically untouchable right now. Pitching as good as ever for these Yankees. His strikeout total is 10.5. It's juiced to the under. Nobody's going to bet that, by the way. Nobody's betting under Gerrit Cole strikeouts at -205. Now, that means that they're clearly trying to tempt you into betting that over 10.5. But to be honest with you, again, who is betting an under these days here? To lay a run and a half at the Yankees is -164, which is a huge price. I think this is the kind of game where, you know, you have to get creative. You really do. Because the Yanks first five laying a run and a half is +106. Oh, that's wrong. Oh, that's a massive. Oh, no. Is that? Oh, it's a run and a half. Excuse me. I thought it was a half a run. No, I think that's how I'd play it, Aaron. I'd lay 1.5 runs in the first five innings, look for them to tank Lyles and not touch Cole. I actually like that at +106.
Yeah, this could be a tough game for the Rangers. They were just swept by the Astros on a six-game losing streak already. Not to mention the Yankees are 4-0 in their last four games against a team with a losing record. Another game on the board, the Mets versus the Braves. Braves favored -142 on the money line, the total at 8. Now, DeGrom was honestly to be determined in this rotation spot, but he's not going to be playing today. The Braves just won the three-game series against the Brewers. How would you play this one?
So this is an interesting game here. Last night, we didn't have these lines available. You see the Braves come up as favorites. Of course, being at home matters for this team. And being at home has really mattered for the total for the Atlanta Braves. They have played 20 games at home this season. 14-5-1 to the over. 14-5-1. The interesting thing, though, a couple of solid arms going today, at least in recent performances. Max Fried was really bad for two outings, but then has put it together over his last two. Taijuan Walker has been tremendous on the mound for the Mets over recent. So I see the form of these two pitchers, I think, under, but I see the trends at a ballpark that's known for hitting in Atlanta, and I think over. I struggle a lot with that, Aaron, right now. I think, though, for this game, you try and play it live. I think if you see Max Fried on the way out of the game, I think if you see Taijuan Walker on the way out of the game, and maybe you look to attack bullpens, I think Braves-Mets is built for live betting. I think it's built to be played to the over live. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have to jump into this one pregame.
And Mets are 2-7 in their last nine meetings. Let's switch it over to the Giants versus the Reds. Reds favored -146 on the money line, total at 8. Now, the Reds just wrapped up a 10-game road trip that ended in a disappointing series in Colorado. San Fran, NL West lead is slipping. They were 1-4 in their last four road games and against a team with a losing record. Fun stat, Cincinnati 7-0 in the last seven Monday games, 5-0 in Gray's last five Monday starts.
The Reds are coming off that core series, as you mentioned, which was a live betting series like maybe I've never seen before. The total kept dropping because they would come out slow to like below 8, and then they'd hit the pregame number of 11, 12. I mean, they were blowing past the number. It kept happening in the series. It was incredible to watch. Well, the interesting thing, as they do come back home for the first time in a while, as you mentioned, Aaron, after that long road trip, is while they leave Coors, which is a different thing into its own right, even their own ballpark here has been playing to the over. 12-5 this season, home Cincinnati Red games towards the over. I think that's something to keep in mind. You've got Sonny Gray coming to the mound here today, who's been a mixed bag to start this season, a career best K rate, but his worst whip, walks, you know, and hits per inning, innings pitched, since he's come to Cincinnati. However, he was excellent in his last home start And Logan Webb on the road, oh no. Logan Webb at home this season, a 1.89 ERA. On the road, a 7.58 ERA for Logan Webb. He is 0-3 as a starter on the road with one no decision. And in that no decision, he only lasted four innings, gave up seven hits, and four runs. I think you love the Cincinnati Reds in this baseball game. Now, it's a little worrying because the number is working against them. It was minus 156 last night. That number is up now, or down rather, to minus 138. The first five is minus 154. To lay a half a run is minus 110. I think because that Reds bullpen has struggled, I think I play this game first five. I look to back Sonny Gray. I look to fade Logan Webb. And I get involved with the Cincinnati Reds early. And I hit the bricks before that Reds bullpen messes things up.
And another series I wanted to ask you about is the Rockies versus the Padres. We don't have the lines available just yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but these two recently played each other with the Padres winning the three-game series. The Padres obviously just wrapping up their series against the Cardinals with a sweep. Rockies coming off a home series against the Reds. When these lines do become available, do you suspect that the Padres would be favored in this matchup?
Oh yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because they're not only playing well. Has anybody seen the Rockies' road record yet this season? 16 road games for the Colorado Rockies. They are 2-14. I mean, you have to be kidding me. 2-14 on the road for the Rockies? I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, there's almost no number too big here on San Diego. Now, I say that, and all of a sudden, maybe Yu Darvish has a bad start. But Darvish is supposed to be pitching today. The Padres are actually hot now, which is wild. But I mean, you're talking about a Rockies team. 2-14, I guess that's supposed to regress. But that is unbelievably bad. Who is even the next closest team in terms of fewest road victories? The Tigers only have five. I mean, everybody else in the National League has won at least six road games. I mean, Aaron, 2-14. That is unbelievable.
That is terrible. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that bad. But another game on the board wanted to quickly ask you about is the White Sox. They're on a four-game win streak. Right now, both teams at minus money when they're playing the Twins today. Total at 9.5. How would you want to play this competitive game?
So a lot of people are wondering if the Minnesota Twins are set to turn the corner now. And there is talent on this roster for sure. Things have just not gone their way. They had what looked like maybe a momentum-turning win on Saturday with a Miguel Sano home run that put them up in that eighth inning. And you thought, okay, this is it. They're going to start to figure it out. They were losing for a good stretch down the back end against Oakland, a home run that ties it in the bottom of the eighth. They immediately give it up in the top of the ninth. Minnesota is 13-25. Sometimes it's bad luck. Sometimes you are what your record says it is. I take the White Sox here.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of fun MLB games on the board. And, of course, a lot of playoff games going on right now. So stick with us here on the early line. We'll be right back after the break to talk about our foul territory. Stay with us.
Some artists work in clubs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports here on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It's now time for foul territory. So as you know, Philadelphia 76ers have that number one seed. They clinched that in the East over the weekend. Yesterday, they were playing the Magic, and the storyline was not around the game. It was more around Joel Embiid's chain that said big energy. Kev, this was probably the most obnoxious chain I think I've ever seen.
I loved every second of it. Loved it. Very pro wrestling from Joel Embiid, who has a little, you know, little pro wrestling in him, you can tell. Why not be obnoxious and rock a massive chain? He should have had a championship belt for being the one seed. I love it. Big one seed energy is what I think Big JoJo was out there representing. I love it. I think I need myself a chain of such side here, you know, so size to wear on the show.
I wonder if you start winning, if you'll start seeing those come out in Philly of people wearing like fake mock-ups of that, just kind of like when we were the underdogs with the Eagles and everybody started wearing the dog masks.
Dog masks. I love that idea.
I had a ton of shirts that had the dog masks.
Okay,
this is why the early line needs a merch store, because there's so many things we like. We have great slogans. We have great things that we could be making some money off of. But yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, Fade the Bucks is. I mean, it's already sold out. We don't even have a merch store. If you see them selling bootleg Embiid chains on the streets of Philly,
I'm gonna wear one on the show. Get me one. I'm going to have to get one. I'll wear it.
You could send me it and we can wear them on the show together, because I love that idea. I think it's a great move.
Did you like the slogan, Big Energy?
Yeah, I think it worked. I think it works for Joel Embiid. I mean, you know, with his reputation of, you know, always messing around, I think it works plenty well. Again, I mean, big Flava Flav style, you know, chain there from Embiid.
Yeah.
I think the whole team should show up in chains.
At first, I thought it was
honestly
a joke because it was so big. As soon as I saw the picture, I'm like, oh my gosh, he was actually kind of serious here. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to watch
Philly
the Philadelphia 76ers.
The chains. I hope they embrace
Much
the chains.
Much cooler than the snakes. I don't like the whole snake thing that they got going on. All right, we'll see you here tomorrow morning on the O-R Line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. We're talking all things about the NBA. See you then.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.